You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 110. Oh, that's actually quite interesting, but you'll discover why in a minute. But I digress. Today, I've got three quite short but interesting things for you. And this is kind of a follow-on from last episode. In the last episode, I talked about children's dreams and nightmares and how you can help your children with their nightmares. And I thought today I'd follow up with three short articles, a couple of which take me back to my childhood and my childhood dreams, and one of which takes Michael back to his childhood. Now, Michael, as you know, is my husband, and he's sitting here doing the tech stuff for the podcast, looking at me, giving me faces like, what are you going to tell them? But it's all good. Before we go any further, I think you're going to enjoy this. We better do what I guess are technically the ads. Although, as many of you know, these aren't exactly sponsored ads. This is a free show. We put this together entirely by ourselves. And, of course, it's supported by Lifestyle Pod Network down in Sydney, which is a platform where we put our podcasts and which puts them onto iTunes and all over the world for all of you, our listeners in over 30 countries to listen to. But no, we don't have any financial support for this. This costs us. So when I say our ads, I really mean our own website. So if you would like to find out more about me, maybe find some more free resources or go to our shop and buy some stuff, some of my books or ebooks or courses, or if you'd like to contact me for a reading by Skype or email of your dream, then go to www.dream.net.au. For kind of like a regular blog or two each week, go to my blog at janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H, or find me on Facebook. Now, when I said at the beginning, oh, this is episode 110, and then started speaking to myself and saying, oh, that's interesting, it's because 110, I mean, look at the number 110, it's 110. It's like an 11 with a zero on the end. And my first thing that I've printed out to read out to you today says on the top of it, issue 1, 11/11/98. So I'm just sitting here, in other words, looking at all these ones at the top, 1/11/11, and telling you that although my conscious mind didn't plan it, maybe my unconscious mind did. Who knows? Our unconscious minds are very powerful. I seem to have picked this article. So what I'm going to read you here is actually to start. There's a very, very short article about some dreams I had when I was a child. And as you know, I published this one on the 11th of November, 1998. More than 12 years ago. And this was the first dream site article I ever wrote for my website, the same website that's there today. I had no idea that I was going to go on and write another 100 or so articles. This one's called Eyesight. It's a pun title because as well as being eyesight, like as in what you can see, the title is actually I with a capital I, Eyesight. And here it is. I was intrigued by the team of white-coated people who arrived at our infant school one week, calling on each class in turn to line up outside the head's office and read letters from a chart propped against the wall. Special children came away with envelopes addressed to their parents. I was 5 years old, and I hoped I would be special enough to take home one of the envelopes. As the days passed, I heard that the visitors had come to test our eyesight and that the letters were for those singled out to wear glasses. My wish escalated. Oh, wouldn't I be really special if Mum and Dad had to take me to choose glasses? I guess I must have wished pretty hard for a five-year-old because by the time I got to the front of the line, I couldn't even see the big letter at the top of the chart, and I've worn glasses or contact lenses ever since. It was a revelation to me a few weeks after taking home the precious envelope to discover that houses were made of bricks all the way up to their roofs, rather than being brick near the ground and then a kind of reddish smudge the rest of the way up. Trees grew leaves to replace the green clouds that had floated around them, and the night sky was neatly scattered with precise pinpoint designs instead of huge glaring intermingling white blurs. I wonder if it was then that my dreams opened stunning new vistas, worlds beyond worlds and worlds within worlds. My previous babyhood dreams of being threatened by wolves or finding myself waist-deep in snake pits gave way to a recurring dream of mirrored lakes, which, if I laid on the ground and looked sideways in a special way, revealed their hidden depths teeming with tropical fish. In those dreams, I used to plead with everyone to look at the water in my special way, to take my sideways look at the magnificence that thrived below the surface of an English lake, where the presence of tropical fish, to the uninitiated, was merely a ridiculous fantasy. No one ever looked. Now I can see, with or without the aid of my glasses, that in the same moment that I was a child, needing to feel special and loved for who I was beyond the surface, I needed to learn that the world did indeed have depth of meaning. My short sight became a blessing, enabling me to experience a different view, to see different perspectives, and to have faith that what may seem confusing one day can leap into clear focus the next. Through short sight, I learned insight. I learned to see within. Oh, there is another paragraph over the page. Oh, I just said, this is the first Jane's dream sight, so named as a celebration of our dreams, which provide us with spectacular puns, fantastic visual feasts, practical and spiritual insight, eyesight with a capital I, and on occasion, precognitive visions of the future. So there you go. That was my first DreamSight article and brought to you today because of it mentioned childhood dreams. Now on to Michael's childhood stuff as he tries to calm himself in the chair as he's recording this. And I wrote this one in March 2003. So it's another DreamSight article. And this was actually number 55. And it's called Hole in the Road. Out driving recently, we slowed down to pass roadworks. Orange witch's hats marked off a hole in the centre of the road. Intrepid road workers were jackhammering their way, waist deep in the rubble, ear deep in mind-numbing noise. You know, Michael began, whenever we passed roadworks when we were children, Dad would always sing, "There was I, a-diggin' this hole, all in the ground, sort of big and sort of round." Just as an aside, that's an English song that those of you that were brought up in Britain would remember. And I would vow, said Michael, never to be as predictable and repetitive when I grew up. "And you've succeeded," I replied. "I've never heard you burst into song, and we've passed plenty of roadworks in our life together." "Yes and no," Michael cringed. "I may not sing, but I've never passed a roadworks without hearing my father's voice striking up in the back of my mind. There was I, a-digging this hole. He just won't go away." We can laugh about these perpetual voices that echo on from our past. Parents, teachers, priests and school bullies, for example, often leave their mark. All the while we are aware of them, we can shrug our shoulders and smile. We can drive on past the hole in the road without bursting into song, talk to our children without old-fashioned admonishment, and be assertive without fear of the school bully hurting us. But what about the echoes we are not aware of? Deep in your unconscious mind are the records of every conversation, event, and experience you have lived through, carefully filed alongside the feelings these evoked in you. These experiences and feelings have shaped your life, even though you don't remember them. They form a blueprint, a pattern that exerts an influence on how you respond to the world. They may be unconscious patterns, but that fact alone makes them far more powerful than the patterns we are consciously aware of. The hole in the road you know about is not a problem. You won't fall into it. But the very real hole in the road you are not conscious of is a danger. How does this relate to dreams? Dreams are reflections of both our unconscious and conscious minds, with special highlights on the conflicts between the two. When you know how to cut through the language of your dreams and interpret them, you can understand the blueprint patterns that are still operating in your life. Your dreams bring light to what is usually hidden to your waking eyes. Your dreams reveal the holes in the road, how they got there, and how they are affecting your waking life today. What powerful information. For example, you may have forgotten the day when the other kids in your street were given money to buy ice creams from the ice cream van, but your mother didn't have the change. She told you money doesn't grow on trees, speaking without thinking, her own mother's echoing words, which were also her grandmother's. She didn't realize you were the only kid in the street to miss out, and she certainly didn't know the others taunted you about it for weeks. As a 5-year-old, you felt deeply hurt by the other kids and by your mother. You mistakenly learned that money was available to other people, but not to you. When a deep feeling is associated with a belief, and remember that children's feelings are big, the belief is all the more strongly anchored. The child in this example grew up and forgot the incident, but his unconscious mind remembered and dug a huge hole in the road. The adult wondered why he encountered difficulties with self-esteem and self-value. He hadn't known that his unconscious mind had established a belief pattern that he was less worthy of reward than others. The problem is that the unconscious mind is far more powerful than the conscious mind, so its blueprint wins over conscious mind, ideals, thoughts, and goals. Those plans you have that seem to keep misfiring are most likely overpowered by your unconscious beliefs. The solution? Change the blueprint. This is easily done once you can interpret your dreams. There are various techniques, our dream alchemy practices, that use the symbols of your unique dreams to change your unconscious blueprint. Think of the process as mending the holes in the road so that you can make smoother and faster progress. You can't remove a hole. The way to mend it is to fill it. You can't simply remove a belief. You need to fill the hole with a new, more appropriate belief. Dream alchemy practices are designed to do this. But on the way to filling in that hole, dream alchemy encourages you to look deep into the hole your dreams have revealed. For the best gems and treasures are found through mining deep into the earth, deep into the self. Let your dreams enable you to walk a newly filled, smooth road, splendidly lit by the diamonds you have gathered from the depths of the old pitfall lessons you have learned. That wasn't too bad, was it, Michael? And for this last one, this one's called Chicken Licken, and I picked it because I remembered that it had something to do with the fact that I loved that book, The Chicken Licken Story, when I was young. And a couple of months back, I kept seeing all over the place references to Chicken Licken, so it kind of stuck in my mind. And when I was looking for 3 articles to give to you today, and, you know, going along that childhood theme, I thought, I'll find this Chicken Licken one. So it's actually not really about childhood, but because it kind of, you know, we've kind of worked out a segue, I've bought it for you anyway. This is actually, I wrote this one in June 2003. So I wrote this one a couple of months after Michael's Hole in the Road one. And this is number 58. So here we go, Chicken Licken. Chicken Licken was one of my favourite stories when I was 3 or 4 years old. I'm sure you know it. An acorn fell on Chicken Licken's head as he was scouring the earth looking for food one day. Horrified, he set off to tell the queen that the sky was falling. On the way, he met Henny Penny, then Turkey Lurkey, and so on. Like any child with a favourite story, I wanted to hear it over and over again. Perhaps it was the rhythm and alliteration I liked, or perhaps I was fascinated by the idea of illusion. Like Chicken Licken, we often misunderstand our experiences, and before long, those misunderstandings settle into concrete beliefs. Instead of witnessing the beautiful potential of the oak tree in the acorn, Chicken Licken lived in fear of the end of the world, of the sky falling down. Chicken Licken came to mind following a dream I had earlier this month. In my dream, I was in a huge field with hundreds of other people enjoying a mild, sunny day. Suddenly, a plane appeared overhead. "Will it drop bombs?" asked all the people looking at me. I looked up at the plane. It was very unusual. It looked more like a technical drawing or a blueprint plan than a plane. It was a plan for a future type of plane, yet somehow we were seeing it already. "No," I reassured them. At that moment, the plane dropped thousands of chocolates. And there were Rosie's Chocolates, which is a popular brand, I'm sure you know, and it dropped these chocolates all over the field. Everyone ran around gathering up handfuls of chocolate. I ate a soft-scented one, and I really tasted it in my dream. Then I ate two more. That was enough for me, but I watched as everyone else ate their fill. As we all left the field, I turned to look back and saw hundreds of identical gold-wrapped chocolates dotted all over the grass. "They're the chocolate cracknels, the hard chocolates no one ever eats, the ones that always get left in the box," I explained to the person beside me. "Yet they're manna from heaven." I woke up from my dream before Forrest Gump had time to pronounce that life is like a box of chocolates, but I wouldn't have been surprised to see him there. What was his simple view? That some people get a soft-scented life and some get it tough? So what did my dream mean? The bottom line was that the tough stuff, the stuff we easily reject, the cracknels, is manna from heaven because it's the tough experiences that can deliver the sweetest lessons. In common with many authors and creative people, I have in the past felt the fear of having my very public work rejected. Imagine when you work hard at producing a beautiful baby, you want everyone to love it. The reality is that some will and some won't. Through this dream, I saw my future plane of thought delivering a blessing of manna rather than destructive bombs. I realized my past approach may have been to sabotage my efforts, to save my work from being judged and rejected. I am now blessing my field of dreams with chocolates, not decimating it with bombs. I can see the golden opportunity in accepting that my work is cracknel or soft-centered, depending on different people's points of view, as this frees me to create without fear of judgment. I posted this dream at the time that I wrote the article in the private members forum that we had going at the time. And one of the members, Angela, looked up the passage on manna from heaven in the book of Exodus in the Bible. And she put this quote, quote, "It was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." How close to the recipe for chocolate cracknel is that? And yes, we were exiting the field, and the topic of the dream was rejection, like leaving an exodus. The morning after my dream, I met a new client who had been suffering from nightmares. I asked her if she could remember one feel-good dream. "Yes," she replied. "It was about eating chocolate." Her name was Penny. That was her real name. I heard a song strike up in the back of my mind. Gone was the chocolate manna from heaven. Now I had pennies from heaven. Which all brings me back to chicken licken, Henny Penny, and acorns from heaven. Seeds for thought. So that's the end of the article, but as I read that, I noticed that it mentioned the blueprint, which connected it to the previous article, and it also mentioned songs, Pennies from Heaven, which links it back to Michael's Hole in the Road. So you see, the unconscious mind really is very, 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 very clever at selecting from articles you've written way back in 2003, remembering that they did in fact have connections. So I hope you enjoyed that, and I'm sure, because this is the way that it works, that every single one of you got something from that. You all got something a little bit different from everyone else, because what we do is we get messages from the written words, and we also get messages from the lines between the words and the spaces between the lines and the spaces between the paragraphs and the spaces between my spoken words. Our own minds, conscious and unconscious, start to spin and derive from the little inspirational elements, the messages that we need to hear. So I hope that you got that, and I feel totally confident that you did. So thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy your dreams, your manna from heaven, your pennies from heaven, and I'll speak to you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. Remember those websites, please, dream.net.au, janetheresa.com, and of course, Facebook. Have a wonderful week. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
There was a digging his hole all in the ground, so big and tall around it was, and there was I. Digging it deep, it was flat at the bottom, and the sides were steep. Went along comes this bloke in a bowler, which he lifted and scratched his head. Whoa, he looked down the old demented soul, and he said, "Do you mind if I make a suggestion? Just dig it there, dig it elsewhere. You're digging it round, and it ought to be square. The shape of it's wrong, it's much too long, and you can't put a hole where a hole don't belong."
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.